1 Corinthians. You've got it there, 1 Corinthians. And just to be able to help you and be a blessing, 1 Corinthians is right before 2 Corinthians. Does that help? All right. So chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we're going to read one verse together. Verse number 9. Paul writing here, of course, he's writing the letter to the church at Corinth. But currently, as he is writing this, he is actually at Ephesus, where we get the book of Ephesians that was already read from already this morning. Pastor, I read those passages there. He is at that time in Ephesus. He's establishing the work at Ephesus, and he's writing to the church he already started in Corinth. And so he is now speaking of the work at Ephesus in verse 9. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." Now, don't you wish the verse stopped right there?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, that's great. We got a great door that's open. Woohoo! We like opportunities, don't we? Hey, this is great, wonderful. But for some reason, they had to include that next part. And there are many adversaries. We're going to talk about the great effectual door. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless now the remaining moments we have in this service. We thank you so much for the 28 years of Southwest Baptist Church. And we thank you now, Father, for Pastor Westlake and for his leadership here. We thank you so much for his dear wife and being able to be a co-laborer alongside. And what excitement about Elijah and the goals and the things that you have for his future. But Father, I do pray that you would help us as we celebrate an anniversary Sunday today to look back briefly, acknowledge what you have done in the past, but yet look to the future that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the theme that Pastor had for the year this year, driven to the mark. I like that. And I like to be able to go, I like to move, and I like the driven to the mark. But sometimes we can be able to say, okay, we're going to go to the mark, we're going to drive to go for the mark, but for what purpose? Is it just to drive? Is it just to go? Is it just to push on? What is the final goal? The outcome? We know the answer of that in Scripture is world evangelization. God has us on earth in order to evangelize the world. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason I mentioned in Sunday school. After we're saved, we could have gone straight to heaven. That would have been wonderful. To me, that would be great. And I don't necessarily like all the things that we have to deal with here on this earth, but he has left us here on this earth for the intent and purpose of to share our faith, to be able to tell others about it, and to be able to give the proper testimony of a gospel witness. You realize a gospel witness is more than just a verbal talk. It is living the Christian walk. As I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, we talked about walking worthy of the vocation or the calling that God has placed in our life. It is the word of Christian, and we need to walk worthy. We need to be able to have the Christian walk, but it's also a Christian witness. I don't know if you remember many, many years ago, there was a theological dispute about lifestyle evangelism. Remember that? Lifestyle evangelism, confrontational evangelism. Which is the best way to do it? What's the best way to do it? The answer is yes.
Amen.
Both. Amen. We need to be able to be a witness. Amen. And by the way, it's more than just on Sunday. We are in a physical witness here in church, which is great, and we need to be part of that. But it is also a physical witness throughout the week. Amen. It is on a Sunday, but it's on the Monday and all of that. And it's also being the living witness through our life. To be able not just to say I'm a Christian, but to be able to exemplify it through our life. And because of that, God will open opportunities for us to be able to go forward, to be driven towards the mark. God will give us opportunities. And let me tell you what opportunities God has given to you. Opportunities open doors. Satan can't shut them.
Amen.
I love that when the Bible talks about the passage in Revelation, we're talking about the church at Philippi. He says, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. And that's beautiful. When God opens up a door, no man can shut it. The Bible talks a lot about open doors. It talks about there in Acts when Paul and his team went out on the first missionary journey. They came back to their sending church at Antioch and shared with them the open doors that God had opened to them of the Gentiles. Paul says in another passage in Troas, he speaks of another open door that God opened up to him to preach the gospel. In the book of Colossians, Paul, who at that time was in prison for his faith, he asked the church there at Colossae to pray that God would open up a door of utterance that he could preach the gospel. And to me, that's amazing. It's like, Paul, you're in jail for preaching the gospel. Hello, right? And he's saying, pray that I have more opportunities to preach the gospel, even while he's there in prison. Wow. All right, and that's what we need to do. We need to have the focus and the spiritual acknowledgement that God will open up opportunities for us. We need to pray for those opportunities, and when that God does, we need to be able to go through the doors that God provides. I will say in mission work today, there are truly a lot of open doors. Regardless of what the news says, you know, the news always has to sell bad stuff, all right? And that's okay. And we have to limit some of that too, all right? But we do have to say God is working behind the scenes. God is sovereign. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And regardless of that, he is in control, even though many times it doesn't look like it. He is working all things out for his divine purpose. Yes, sin complicates things, but God is never complicated.
That's good.
Yes, sin messes us up, but God has his divine plan. And there are open doors around the world. Some areas regionally are being stressed right now. But in mission work, it's exciting when God opens up a door. I've had a lot of privileges in my 35 years now of mission work. I truly have been the first person to go into a village that never had the gospel before, ever, and be able to communicate the gospel. It's amazing. One such circumstance, I spent 3 days sleeping in their mud hut, eating all the creepy crawlies, you know, all the stuff that goes on in just a small little village setting. They've never heard the gospel. Preached multiple times. The leader of the village, yes, they had a chief, but their true village was a witch doctor. Coming face to face with that, being confronted with that. Preached for 3 days. How many people accepted Christ? No. Because you were an ineffective preacher? No. God was doing the preaching. It was just a new concept. They had never heard about love. You know, traditional African teaching and traditional African religion is all based on spirit worship. And the spirits are always angry. And all they have to do, they have to appease the spirits. They have to appease them. They have to do sacrifices and all this crazy stuff. They've never heard of a God that loves so much that he gave and actually helped to provide a way of reconciliation. Never heard that before. What a challenge it was as I was leaving. I have so many stories, even about those 3 days. But just to give you a conclusion, as I was walking out, the chief walked me out of the village. He says, missionary, he says, I thank you for all the things that you've told us. But at night, as we've discussed what you have preached, one thing that we've all took note of is that whenever you would say something, you would then open that big black book. And you would read from it. She says, he says, missionary, those words have power. Because we've actually asked our witch doctor, where's your book? How do we know that you're telling us something from God? He can say nothing. The words from that book have power. He said, can you come back and tell us more about the God of that big black book? Oh, yeah. Amen. There's a church today in that village. Wow. What a blessing. Open doors. I baptized in rivers and streams. Of course, you had to look out for the snakes and the, you know, and the hippos and all of that, you know, go upstream as well as downstream. Stayed in the mud huts, in the Bedouin tents of the Sahara even. I drank the camel's milk. Eaten jungle maggots, huge big old grub worms. That's actually a delicacy for them. Mm-hmm. I smuggled Bibles on the backs of camels and motorcycles to be able to take them out to Bedouin camps to be able to, so they can finally hear something from the Word of God. I love it. And I thoroughly enjoy doing it. And I do it, what? For the cause of Christ. There's open doors that God provides. But then there's also adversaries. Who's the big adversary? Satan. Yes. He is the what? He's likened unto what? It's in an African context. It's an African animal. There we go. What I like about it is that that's a totally different sermon, but he is a roaring lion. Do you realize the roaring lion is the old lion that can no longer hunt? He's not effective. He can't endure it. He doesn't have any strength, but he has a roar. It's exactly what Satan is to we as Christians. He can't defeat us. He can only roar. He can tempt us, cause us to be able to turn astray. And what our problem is when... just like those African animals, they hear the roar and they go in the exact direction that the lion wants them to, right into the mouths of the others that are in the pride. We have the same thing that Satan does today. He tempts us, tries to draw us away, and we many times mistakenly follow the path that he wants us to take. And it ends in trouble. The Bible does say, and sin, when it is finished, does bring forth death. It doesn't have to be. Satan is the one that's no longer effective. He was defeated on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And when Christ rose again from the dead, he rose victorious over the power of sin, victorious over Satan, and we can be in, we can live in that victory. Yes. Yes, he is the big adversary. He also has all of his little minions. And those minions work through a lot of people. Sometimes that work as adversaries, don't we? How many of you can be able to say you have had an adversary in some way spiritually? It could have been a family member. It could be a neighbor. It could be a co-worker. Hey, I don't want to hear about God. Don't preach to me about that. No, I'm not interested in that. Don't give me that track. Don't say those words. Adversaries. Sometimes we focus a lot on the outside adversaries. But do you realize there are also inside adversaries that we have that can hinder us to go through the open doors that God has for us? That can hinder us to drive towards the mark. And it's many times it's the inward adversaries that causes us to be ineffective. We blame it on the outside ones, but there's inside ones. And that's what he focuses on in this text. Let's read further, because the Bible helps to explain. Let's go on. The answers to life are always in the Bible. Verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12 talk about some traveling things. He gets right back to it in verse number 13. And in verse 13, we see the first adversary on the inside. Look at me. It is first a lack of spiritual courage. Lack of courage. Why don't we go through the open doors? Because we're afraid to. Why does our churches sometimes fail? Because we are lack the courage to confront it, to see it, to be able to protect. Verse 12, he talks about it. He marches out the orders and barks them like a drill sergeant in the army. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Wow. Those are kind of rough, huh? Paul must have been one of those yelling preachers, right? But there are some things that we have to be careful of. Let's look at those. First, he says, watch ye. That's to stay awake. In other words, you're not supposed to fall asleep at church, right? But he says, watch ye. Stay awake. Stay alert is what it is. I am amazed how many times Satan puts us to sleep spiritually. Oh, you're a good Christian. It's okay. You don't have to read your Bible. Oh, you know, it's all right. I mean, come on. You don't need to pray. I mean, you're working hard. And no, it's okay. It's Psalms. Oh, you don't need to go to church on Sunday. Oh, come. You're getting radical. All right. Oh, I don't know. All right, just calm down. Just ease it. And just relax. That's why a lot of Christians are asleep spiritually. It happens. Satan does that. And we wonder why we're not effective. We wonder why we're not driving towards the mark. We wonder why we don't go have the open doors. It's because we're asleep spiritually. I mean, stay awake. The Bible says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. That's in reference to prayer. Next one is stand fast in the faith. We shouldn't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. Yes. The Bible says that in the book of Jude. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because the Bible says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. They're false teachers. And we need to stand fast. We need to watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. What's the next phrase? Quit you like men. What that is? That's simply be a mature Christian. Don't be childlike in your faith. Don't be childlike even in your spiritual relationships within the church. Quit you like men. Be mature. Amen. Next, be strong. That's not an admonition to go to the gym and work out. No. It's to be spiritually strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen.
Amen.
Be strong. We need Christians who will be as strong, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember, Paul says in the book of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We need people who will be alert, be watchful for the wiles of the devil, watching for any inroad that he may enter into our lives or into our church. We want perpetuity of our church to continue on perpetually, to go forward, to continue to drive toward the mark, to walk guard around our church. We need people who will be steadfast in the faith, steadfast in face of adversity or temptation. We need a mature people who will not succumb to immature pettiness and little problems and little squabblings. We need to have the unity in the church. Amen. And move forward. We need people who will be strong in the inner man and not to compromise their positions spiritually. So, wow, we need a courage. A lack of courage is an adversary on the inside. Lack of courage. The second thing is, there's a lack of charity. Go to the next verse. Verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. To me, I think it's hilarious to be able to see verse 13 and verse 14. Watch ye, stand fast, put your leg back, be strong. And then, but y'all just love one another, okay? And you know what? And that's what we need to have. Yes, we need to be alert. We need to be watchful. We need to be careful. We need to be on guard. We need to be ready to be able to move forward. But also, we need to make sure we do it in biblical love. The word there, charity, for those of you who do study the Word of God, the word charity there is actually the Greek word agape, which is the God-like love. Remember, there's three Greek forms of love. Agape is the God-like love. God loves unconditionally. And that's how we are a little bit in the family here on earth, our earthly family. How many of you have one of those weird uncles? Every family has one. You know what? I've got one, but I love him. Why? He's my family. I love him. Is he weird? Yeah. Why? We're family, right? We love each other. Same thing in the church. We need to make sure that we have godly love within the church. Amen. Unconditionally. Yes, we all can have some little quirks. We can have something that'll be a little bit of a different idiosyncrasies, but we need to realize, hey, as a spiritual body, we are family. We love one another. We help one another. We go forward together. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. Let me get to the last one, the last enemy. The first one was lack of courage. Second one is lack of charity, the godly love. Third one, verse 15. Is a lack of commitment. Commitment. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Look at me here. That means that this family was one of the first families that got saved when Paul went into Achaia. So this house, Stephanas and his family, what they were exemplary. They were the first fruits, the first people that got saved. And let's see what it says about it. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Wow. That's the one thing that's a good thing to have an addiction to. Amen. All kinds of addictions out there. But addiction, to the ministry, addiction to the church, addiction to godly principles, and addiction to the Word of God. This is what we need. We need a godly addiction, and let's use the word commitment. We need a godly commitment to serve the Lord. We have people that will love Him. That's good. We have some that will surrender and make a decision for Him. That's good. But sometimes when it actually comes down to commitment, to doing it, I don't know. Well, wait a second here. Yeah, I love God. I love Him. He loves me and all that. I realize we need to do something more. Yeah, I realize that. I realize there's a need. Okay, well, now let's make it happen. Well, wait a second. Okay, I don't know about that. How much is this going to cost me? In treasure as well as our time. Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't sound like we're very addicted, does it? Commitment. Oh, Paul is saying, listen, there's a lot of open doors we have. Realize Paul was opening up the gospel to all of these Gentile nations, and it was exciting. Yes, he had adversaries. Yeah, he was beaten multiple times. I think it would just take me once. I'm like, I'm good, right? But he went on. He was beaten. He was tortured. And he was in jail many of the time. But he continued on. He continued on. What kept him continuing on? It's like, come on. Really, Paul? It's because he had commitment. He had love. And he had courage. And God helped. That is what's going to help Southwest Baptist Church to go to another level.
Amen.
That's what's going to cause the church here to be here in the next 28 years. Some of you may think, I ain't going to be here in 28 years. Yeah, maybe not. Some of you may think, I don't know if the world's going to be here in 28 years. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. But until God calls us all home, whenever that time takes place, we need to make sure that we go through the doors He's opened for us. And when He opens a door, no man can shut it. Neither can the evil one. But God waits on His people to move. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force any of us to do anything. It will be reflected in heaven when it comes to our rewards. But He doesn't force us to do anything. We need to have the inner courage. God will help us supply it. We need to have the godly charity. That's hard to have with ourselves, but God will help us supply it. And we need to have the commitment. That comes from us within. He supplies the power to do it, but it comes from within. We've got to take the step. We've got to move forward. How many of you realize that, especially like in exercise, if I just take that first step, the second step is a little bit easier. Third step's a little bit easier. I've got to take the first step. That's what we've got to do. The open doors. We know the adversaries without. Let's be watchful for the adversaries within. Let's go through the open doors in the power of His might with love that compels us to action and a commitment to serve. Listen to me. In the way He wants, in the place He wants, and for as long as He wants us to do it. An open door. You know, a door serves two purposes. It opens to let you in. Or it can close keep you out. We need to go through the open doors while they're open. We can even take that step, that thought, one step further, even when it comes to our personal salvation. I don't know all of you. I don't know for sure of your walk with God. I do not know for sure if you have been biblically saved, if you've done what the Bible says, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And as a gospel preacher, I would be very, very lax in not at least addressing this to you all. But just like the great door that was put on the ark. How many of you have been to the ark experience there? The ark, you know, that's pretty neat, right? Huge door! But if you read in Genesis, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut it. And when God shut the door, those that believed were on the inside. And it kept those who did not believe on the outside. Let's believe. Let's trust in God. Let's see what God has for us. There's open doors, opportunities for you to give out the gospel. Do you realize every person has a group of people in your influence that God has put there for you to talk to? They won't listen to him. He's a preacher. They won't listen to me. I'm a loudmouth.